Our senior pastors has given me this opportunity to share. So thank Pastor Unami and Pastor Steve and all the other pastors, and even for all the people that have come today. God bless. And today is a very special day, as you all know, that if the body of Jesus Christ was ever found, and you must know they've been searching for years, thousands of years, to prove us wrong, we would not be here today. That's why we have this wonderful opportunity to say our Savior has risen and he's in heaven. Where is his body? Nobody can find him because he's proved everybody wrong, and we're on the winning side. Amen? I've entitled the message today, Jesus, Our Inheritance. So, whatever Jesus, well, through creation, the beginning of time, and then up to the life he was on earth, whatever God has made belongs to us, because he has come to save us, that we could be with him in eternity. And that is our inheritance. We have inherited everything. We are heirs to the throne as much as he is, because that's how much he loved us. He gave everything for us. And so we'll go to the first scripture in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Have we got it there, Janine? No. John chapter 8. All right, can we start from 31, please, Jenny? Okay. You can put 32 on. Okay. John chapter 8. Verse 31, 32. So Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Jews, if you abide in me, then you are truly my disciples. And today, he's talking to us too. If we abide in him, if we're part of that vine, part of that branch, then we are truly his disciples. And we will know the truth, because the truth will set us free. And then the Jews were very upset, because they said, we are descendants of Abraham, and we are in debt to nobody. We owe nobody anything, because, you see, the religion is that they followed everything that the rituals, the sacrifices, the fasting, and that made them pious, religious. They love God, that's for sure. But at the same time, they don't realize that Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will be truly free. So it's like, nah, how can we be free? You know, we've done all these things. So we have this opportunity to know it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. It's about personally having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where they got confused, because it's like, we've done everything, but you're telling us now we'll be set free. So I've got a little testimony myself when I was still a young guy back in Johannesburg. And having no real commitment, just living from day to day, things were just going on. Bit of a rough time back in Johannesburg, you know. And it was after the Easter weekend, the long weekend. But I still didn't go to work the Tuesday. I'm having another day off. And I'm standing on the corner there in Hillbrow, which is like Northbridge. Very busy place, rough and tumble, things going on all over. And I was standing on the corner, it must have been just about near midday. And that time, I had a big beard, afro. And I seen two ladies walking towards me. And I looked at the one lady and I said, this is what I need in my life, Andrew. Somebody that can settle me down. Somebody that can bring some order into my life. Because I was all over the place. And that's what I pursued. And eventually we got married with our children. And it wasn't long after that I realized that wasn't for me, Hillbrow, Johannesburg. And there was a scripture that was coming up to me because I was a Catholic, religious. I wasn't a born again. And the scripture was in Psalms 40. And it says, I have taken you out of a miry pit and set you on a rock that you might know your going and your coming. And we moved from Johannesburg back to Durban. And today we are here in Australia. Because God sees your heart. And I mean, I wasn't doing anything really bad, but I needed some order in my life, and I decided, let's do this. And it's a relationship that we need to have. And we see the story of the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and he said, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said to him, Have you obeyed all the commandments? He said, yes. I did not commit adultery. I did not steal. I did not kill. So Jesus said, yes, but you still lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and follow me. And this is the hard part, is follow me. You see, he was a rich man. And I mean, you cannot serve two masters. You can serve one, but maybe you'll hate the other. So for him, his riches was, oh, do I have to? But then follow me. And that's what Jesus is asking us today. Not to forsake everything, but live a normal life and have a bit of order, a bit of balance in our lives. We can't be, yes, church every day, but we do have God first, then our family, and then money, obviously, to live, and then entertainment. We can't have entertainment first, and it's just about party all the time. No, we need to have order and a balance. And that's what God is asking us. And this is what Jesus came into this world to show us, that he loved us. And that he's gone to prepare a place for us. So all we need to do today is to acknowledge that we have an inheritance, and it's because of Jesus. And we see in Romans, Romans 1, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we see that the price has been paid. Because if you get condemned for anything, that means you have to suffer whatever the consequences are. You've committed some crime, whatever. But there are now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. What a gift. No matter what, Christ has paid the price. So according to those who walk according to the Spirit. Right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is that constant war between the flesh and the Spirit. And obviously, the Spirit is willing. We want to serve God. We want to do the things of the Lord. But the flesh is weak. So we're forever getting drawn to the things of the world. And obviously, it's something that we have to work on. We've got to feed our spirit. We've got to read the word. We've got to have fellowship. The more we do that, the stronger we're getting. But we find that around us, because of hardness of heart, there's a lot of unbelief. You know, and we are here to be living epistles, lifelights in the workplace, amongst our family, that Jesus is alive. Jesus has done everything. But what's going to happen is we need to tell them. We need to encourage others, especially those of the household of faith. Because if you are in a war and the soldier next to you is down, you're going to try and pick him up. And let's go, brother. You're not just going to leave him like that. But we, in this spiritual warfare, our brothers are falling on either side, but are we trying to pick them up? Are we encouraging them to say, because he's a soldier. You need him in this fight. This spiritual war that we are faced with every day. We are in a war zone. From the minute we open our eyes, it's time to fight. Because the enemy is waiting. And we see in James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, we must count it all joy when we go through various trials and tribulation. That's a hard thing to say. But as a believer, knowing that Christ has already gone through everything that we are being faced with, we know that we can count it all joy when we go through various trials. Because the testing of our faith produces patience. And then we have patience and we are able to wait. And the word said, wait upon the Lord. Because when we wait upon the Lord, we will renew our strength. We'll be able to endure. Because there is one who is going every day into heaven and pointing and saying, look at what Elter is doing. The enemy, the devil himself. Look at what Andrew is doing. We know the story of Job. Job was accused of being looked after, of God having a hedge around him, that if God takes the hedge away, Job will lose his faith. He will no longer be a believer. But God said, no. Do anything, but don't take his life. And what do we find out? Job withstood the test of time. He was able to endure all. He lost everything. You know, when they say, count it all joy, when you go through various trials. In one day, Job lost family, houses, cattle, livestock, was taken. But the man stood, trusting God, continued to pray, continued to serve God, until in the end we find out that he was blessed 10 times more than whatever he had before. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. And we have another very important man in the Bible called Daniel. And Daniel decided to fast and pray for 21 days, asking the Lord, what will happen in the last days? All of us want to know what will happen in the last days. As far as we know, and as far as everybody knows, that could be any day. could be tomorrow, could be any day. What would happen in the last days? And Daniel started to pray on the first day. The Lord sent the answer. But guess what? The answer was stopped. You see, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. That is not your enemy next to you there. It's against spiritual forces that you can't see. So the answer came, but nothing was given to Daniel. So he continued to pray. Hallelujah. He never gave up. He continued. So from the first day, the answer came on the last day, on the 21st day, because the angel, Michael the archangel, came down himself to fight against these spiritual forces. The prince of Persia and the prince of Greece stopped this answer coming. How much of your answers are being stopped from getting to you? But are you going to give up and say, no, God, how come I'm still sick? How come the bank account hasn't improved? Nothing has happened. Don't give up. The answer's on the way. Continue to pray. Continue to trust the Lord. That's why Jesus came. He's made a way for us. And the battle is not ours. Victory is ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. All we need to do is to trust him, to continue to put our faith in him. It's all about faith. It's we believe. No matter what, the people next to you are all unbelievers, but they'll see something different because you are carrying the light of this world. Jesus is the light. And you as a believer have that light in you. And you are able to overcome and overpower the darkness. And we go to Revelations. Chapter 1 and verse 18. And Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. You see, Jesus has the keys. And he's going to take those keys away from Hades, where we were supposed to go. That's where we're supposed to go for the sins we've committed. And Jesus has the keys. And again, he says in Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for your flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the rock we're talking about is Jesus Christ. We are standing on that rock. And we have the keys, the church. We are the church. Whatever we loose in heaven, and whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I mean, that's how much Jesus loves us. Now, you know, if you've got an athlete or you've got somebody that's done something very great, they usually give them the key. Especially like when you turn 21, you get the key. Now, this key, let's just say, the key to Perth. You got access to anything. And there was a movie we watched. It's a cowboy, you know. I know a lot of people are not into the Westerns. But anyway, Clint Eastwood, And he's just a drifter, and he comes into this little town. And this town is getting ready because some prisoners are being released, and they're coming straight there. And they're coming to run havoc. So they need a man to protect them. So he's there, and he's got the key. Whatever he wants in that town, he's free. You want place to stay, food to eat, clothes to wear, it's all there. And we have the same key. Whatever we need to pray against sickness. We've been given the key. Against attack of the enemy, anything that's trying to hinder us, we're able to go through Jesus Christ because he's given us the keys. My brother and sister, we need to put on the whole armor of God. He's given it to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wile of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Continue. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. My brother and sister, if we do not put on this armor every day, we are open to every wile and attack of the enemy. But Jesus has given us these tools that we are able to stand. You see, the most important thing is you standing firm in the battle. You are prepared. And Jesus has already made the way. All we need to do is have faith enough to know the helmet of salvation is knowing the word, protecting your mind against all what you see, especially that's not of the Lord. That's what you need to do, is have your mind prepared and receive those things that will strengthen you, and keep away from those things that will confuse you. I mean, we love TV, we love this and that, but some of it is not good, especially for the mind, because that's where it goes into the mind, into the heart. And from the heart, it starts to germinate. Then we have the breastplate of righteousness. That means all the time we need to cover our hearts, that we are strong enough against those things that are trying to get in. And we prepare our feet with the gospel of peace, that we can go to share this gospel with our loved ones, with those that are in need. And we have the shield of faith, because we're always going to get attacked. There's always going to be enemies out there that's trying to pull you down, that's trying to distract your walk. And the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. You've got to know the Word. This is what Jesus gave us. He is the Word Himself. And He's come down that we could have the Word. So we are able to stand by putting on all this armor. Being able to be counted as a soldier for the Most High, Jesus Christ, that has risen. Most importantly, He's risen. So that nobody can say, nah, who is this Jesus? Because you will say to Him, the bones of the other prophets are still in the grave, but where is Jesus' bones? He is the Lord. He is the God. And we worship the true God. Amen? Jesus, our inheritance. This is what we have today on Easter Sunday. This wonderful promise of Jesus Christ that has prepared the way for us. Amen? Amen.
All right, church, I'll just invite everybody to stand as we finish up this morning. And I would ask if you could all just raise your hands like you're about to receive something. Just raise your hands this morning. Someone is going to come along and put some money in your hands. I wish. I was traveling in around one of the suburbs, and I saw people putting this rubbish all over the place, and I thought, oh, what's going on here? But it's the time of the year when the council comes to collect the hard rubbish, and this is, they're saying to everybody, you got a lot of junk, bring it out, bring out all that junk, and we will carry it away for free. And during this Easter, you know, as we've heard that Jesus is our inheritance, one of the most interesting things Mr. Donovan said is that we've been given the keys. It is actually up to you to take the keys that you've been given and that allow you access to things. If I've got a key, that means I can unlock stuff. You have to unlock the things, the victory you've been given, that ability with the keys that you've been given to unlock things in your life for yourself and for your family. If you're dealing with issues from your past in your family where there is, you see certain things just happening in your family and you think, why is it always our family struggles with this? You've been given the keys by which you can begin to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to say, Lord, this is not my portion. You died. And because you died, I'm a new creation. And all those things that affected my family in the past no longer have to affect us because of the power of your blood. Now, if you don't do it, ain't nobody's going to do it for you. So this morning, I want, as we've got our hands raised, you know, just as those people were throwing out their rubbish, that, you know, we don't need this stuff. I want you today, as you leave this place, and to look at this moment as an opportunity to make room for God to intervene in your life, for those things in your life that you know are not right, and saying, Lord, I am going to take some stuff out. And I'm not just going to take some stuff out and fill it again with more stuff. But as I take those things out and I put it on the curb for the council to take away, Lord, I want to make room for you in my life. That I'm not just taking out rubbish and filling it up again with rubbish, but I'm going to make room for you to come. And whatever situation you're dealing with, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a sin, a sickness, or an attitude, you're going to ask the Lord, an anxiety, whatever it may be, and say, Lord, I want to make room for you. And the Lord promises that He will come, that He carries our burdens with us. He'll come alongside us. And so, Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are risen and that we have an inheritance in you. Father, that we have given us the power to overcome sin because you overcame it. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we have an inheritance. We have a heritage that we can call upon the name of the Lord. And as your word declares it, those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we can come